Hallelujah. Amen. Bless the name of Jesus. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. How's everybody doing? Doing all right? If you try to give, well, let me even start off and pray, amen. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day, this Bible study. We do ask that you would open our ears, give us understanding your words of truth, to apply them not only to our lives here, to bring victory in the name of Jesus in every aspect. We give you the glory for all things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right, glory to the King. Okay. You got to listen real close, all right? Because a lot of times it in preaching when you're or teaching whenever you're listening to someone, we often talk about how we hear things different ways. With that aspect in mind, or what I'm saying is that if you hear something that is new and you do not have the experience to apply it, chances are you may not be too successful in actually doing it or carrying it out. Does that make sense? That's why a lot of times we have to actually use examples and try to go through the word and actually try to break it down for everybody to understand, because everybody understands things different. And I know that whenever you're teaching or whenever you're preaching, if it's something that you have not experienced before, even though it's being taught, that doesn't mean that everybody has the ability, the know-how, the delivery, or the application in applying what's being said. That's why Jesus, he demonstrated the power of God. Do y'all understand what I mean? When you read the book, you're reading about, you know, sometimes you have to fill in the blanks because they're, you know, the book is written to give us, get straight to the point. It's the word. Hallelujah. And so that's why you see us give examples a lot of times in a lot of things, so that everybody can be on the same sheet of music. Amen. Because if, I see it all the time, if we just leave it up to your own understanding, for sure you're going to get four or five different ways of doing something. And Lord knows that I try to go through many, many different ways to try to break down examples to make it so easy. And even that, I still have difficulty in people applying that. You understand what I mean? For instance, you can't drive a car like a motorcycle because it's two different machines. Oh, both of them have the same concepts, but it's just, you know, you just can't do it. So by the time the word leaves from here and it gets to there, you're talking to many different diversities of people, and everybody is, you know, understanding on different levels. That doesn't mean that someone is smarter than somebody else or someone is ignorant than another. It's just that then from that point on, we need understanding in how to apply. Are you following me? So a lot of times when you're speaking with people, don't assume that people automatically understand what you're saying. Are you following me? Do you understand what I mean? I mean, if you've never experienced something, how can you assume, because you already understand, and we do that anyway, that somebody else gets what you're talking about? Hallelujah. One thing about the scriptures is that nobody in this world can change God. But there are different situations, there are people, there are places, there are aspects, there are things that can change you from God. Hallelujah. It's just a fact. Nobody can change God because God does not change. Is that right? And you can be in a certain place and at a certain place in God and with God. And the only way that you can be changed from God is because you're not God. You have to be careful about the influences of this life, the cares of this life, people who you talk to, people who you hang around, you know, because everybody's just not healthy for you. All conversations are not healthy.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, sir.
Hope we understand that. Amen. Ephesians 6:16. Glory be to the King. All right. Above all, then it has a comma right there. Above all, stop. Look at that. Action, taking the shield of what?
Faith.
You hear that? Now, this is above what? All. And we know this is talking about the weapons of our warfare. Is that right?
Yes,
above all. Now, above all means there's nothing else above that. Hallelujah. Is that right? Above all. That's the principle. Principle thing, okay? Above all, taking action, the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to, look at this, quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And you know just as well as I do that the way that the wicked throws fiery darts is through thoughts in the mind. Isn't that right? He brings suggestive terms and words and phrases to your mind. You ever had a thought come in your mind and sometimes you say, man, that devil's a lie? What are you going to do if it wasn't a devil but it was your old cardinal mind? See, a lot of times every day we go again giving the devil more credit than what he's really do. A lot of times it's just your old evil self, Adamic nature. What brings the difference or the problem in trying to distinguish the voices in our mind is that all of them sound just like us. Have you figured it out yet that the enemy uses voices who you are familiar with?
Amen.
Like I said before, he can't deceive you going, yeah, yeah, do this. You'll be on the first thing smoking, boy. I'm going to have to get somebody to pray for me because I know that that ain't me. Are you following me? So he uses your voice. Now, he's using that for a reason. See, that's why you have to discern the nature of the voice. Because the scripture teaches that there are in this world, as there may be, there are so many different kinds of voices. And every single voice has a meaning. Now, your job is to know the meaning of the voice. Because every voice, words that you hear without natural hearing is very real. Because everything that has voice is real. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Whether people can see it or not. I mean, after all, nobody sees fiery darts flying back and forth with each other. Isn't that right? We don't see these things. But look what it says right here. Let's go to John 15, verse 7. That's why it's important for God's people to have his word richly dwelling in their mind. You see, because you can't fight against the enemy of your soul if you don't know what God's word says. Because he's going to use deceptive, enticing, seductive, seducive terms, words, phrases to do everything he can to trick you and to deceive you. And your only defense for anything, because you have to understand, Satan is also an intellectual. Yes, he can too. Don't think that he's just some dumb devil. If he's so dumb, then how does he get you to sin so easy at times? He can't be that stupid. How can he get you to do a wicked way? Hallelujah. That's right. Jesus, now notice, he's speaking in terms of condition right here. If you abide in me. Did you hear that? John 15, verse 7. If you abide in me. You see that? That's based on a condition. And let's see what he says. And my words abide in you. Did you hear that? Well, you see the conditions, though. If you abide in me. Now, we know that Jesus was the Word of God made flesh. So to have Jesus is to have his word. Hallelujah. So to have Jesus is to have his word. Because with all these different diversities of voices that is speaking and going on here in this world today, you must have his word. Do you understand that? Because if you don't have his word, you have no defense for the enemy, who's been around at least on this earth 6,000 plus years, just about. 6,000 years, give or take. We don't know for sure, but we know it's close. Are you following me? Why do you think we lose so much the battle of the mind? Because we don't know how to combat the words. We don't know what to say. Because our words carry power. When we cast out evil demonic spirits, we say words. When we're healing the sick, we say words. Isn't that right? When we called on Jesus for salvation, we said words. Do you understand that? And so, if you don't say something, you're in trouble. If you do say something, you're in trouble. That's why you need to learn how to speak and how to apply his words. See, when you become a believer, a disciple of Christ, your language must be changed. It must be changed from the language of death to the language of life. And the majority of us speak death, and we do it pretty much all the time. Amen. Because we are familiar with that type of language. As a matter of fact, we have to actually struggle to speak life. We have to actually pay attention to speak life. We have to actually meditate for a while before we even say something, just to be sure that we're speaking life. Amen. You see, the nature of God has to become your nature. Let's say you got saved at 25 years old. God saved you. You have spent 25 years walking in death. How long do you think it's going to take to purge you of that conscience? Come on, brothers and sisters. You see, because we walked in this. We were shaping in this. We were born in this. And we did everything every lust ever told us to do. Now that after the grace of Jesus Christ has appeared unto us, and then we experience this love like we never felt before, like we've never known before. We experience him. Did y'all hear me? When all of a sudden we experience it, all of a sudden we start going, man, our speech get cleaned up. Things we was not convicted of before, now we're convicted of. Ah, we go, wait a minute, I don't like that, man. So our steps that we start to take. And as our speech is cleaned up, then we are being cleaned up, we find ourselves reading God's word more. So if the enemy can get you to neglect his word, he know that he can take the actual word of God, which is the power of God, because the word was made flesh, away from you, because you will have no defense. Because we speak words of faith. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. And how can you hope if you don't speak? God doesn't work by mind telepathically, whatever you want to call that stuff. You want to say something. Even in prayer, communication, you have to talk. Hallelujah. When we talk with each other, we're saying words. Is that right? So there's a lot has to be changed. Our mind must be transformed. And the only way our mind is going to be transformed is we have to unlearn everything we ever learned so that we can learn the ways of Christ. Now, the question to that is how successful have you been at being serious about transforming your mind? See, we got to be careful we don't handicap ourselves. A lot of times we go, well, since we know that we're in the tabernacle and the assemblies of the saints of the Most High, if I got something wrong with me, I'll just go to them. They know what to say. They know what to do. Well, what if you only got two or three people that you can actually go to? Then what about the rest of us? We're all supposed to be disciples of Christ. Isn't that true? Jesus said, in my words, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, we got some, hey, we need to come to something right here. Either Jesus just got finished speaking the truth, or he just got finished speaking a lie. I just happen to believe he spoke the truth. But notice, this is based on a condition. If. You ain't never noticed how hard the devil fights you to just even pray in the morning? Someone said, what do you mean, devil? Sometimes your own flesh. You'll get busy doing something and get preoccupied doing something. Next thing you know, time to eat. Well, I'm gonna read the scriptures today. I'm gonna meditate on God. I'm gonna pray, and then next thing you know, you're getting ready for bed, and I go, where'd they go? Where'd they go? That's because you didn't make priority. You didn't put him first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's easy for us to keep him on our mind first thing in the morning. We get up out of bed. Praise the Lord. Glory, hallelujah. Bless the name of Jesus. Glory be to the King. And for many of us, that's about it of it for the rest of our day. That's it for the rest of the day. We finish from there. And then we wonder, why come we don't have no power? Uh-oh. We just talking truth here for a moment. All right. Watch this, though. Look what he says right here. Look at this. Matthew 13, verse 22. I want to show you something, though, okay? Now, mind you, we just got finished talking about words. See, every individual soul in here has a particular way, and that way must die in order to bring forth Christ. I'm serious. There's a certain way that you are. Don't you know that by now? That way got to die. I mean, believe it or not, after multitudes of years, you see me up here, but you don't know, many of y'all never didn't know me, but you don't see the same man that I used to be before Christ. No, you don't. You can ask a few people in here, they'll tell you that. I am not the same person. I'm almost a stranger. If you hadn't saw me in a while, if you haven't seen me in a while, I'm almost a stranger. You go and you look, you go, it looks like him. Voice sound like him. Boy, but that talk, it ain't the way he used to talk. Y'all see that? Y'all understand that? That's just the truth, brother. So look at this. Now, still falling on the line, quenching the fiery darts, and if his words abide in you. He also that receiveth seed among thorns is he that, look at this, heareth the word. Watch this. This is a way that you can hear. And the care of this world. See, as soon as you try to dedicate yourself to do something for Christ, the first thing you attack with is the care of this world. The way you used to do it, what people think. How you going to appeal or look in front of others, which you should care less. Your God should be first priority above all. Now look at this now. Look at this. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, they do what? Choke the word. Now look, notice. He that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. And the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, look what it does. It chokes the word. And he becometh, look at this, unfruitful. And what was Jesus' will that we do what? Bear much fruit. So what's going to be the first, one of the first things right here is going to take the word, the cares of this world. You know, what you want, what you think. Different ambitions, different motivations. What is your priorities? See, God must have the preeminence in all things. See, with believers, if anybody's finally got it by now, it's when a man's ways please the Lord, not only is he going to make his enemies be at peace with you, are you following me? But when you please him, then you can ask what you will. But there's a condition, pleasing him. Because see, he knows that a transformed mind is not going to center himself on the cares of this world. He's going to be busy about his father's business. See, let me give you an example of cares of this world. See, if you center yourself on your father's business, and all of a sudden he may pop up a care in his world, but it'll be for someone else. And then he'll supply all your needs. Because the best satisfaction a Christian can get in his life is to be used of the one who bought him. And that brings so much gratification. And yes, it does. It satisfies the soul. And then it makes you more hungry. See, because God, if God always gives you what you want, that'll make you a selfish person. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. And then pretty soon your nature be going, well, remember, because he told Job that his purpose, God's purpose, was to move a man away from his purpose. And you do got a purpose. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do, too. Yes, you do. It's just that many of you hadn't discovered it, but you got it. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you have the will to do his will. You do his will. He'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You say to this mountain, be thou removed. But how can you say to that mountain, be thou removed and be cast over yonder if you don't have his word in you? If you don't know how to speak, you can't apply it. Hallelujah. Because that's the last thing the devil wants. Look at this. And the deceitfulness of riches. So that's the one thing about material things. They have a deceitful way of presenting themselves. Because in this world, people liken sanctification and holiness by how much they can obtain. And, of course, when you look at Jesus, I mean, I guess he would not be considered a successful man. He didn't have no house. He didn't have a bank account. He had somebody else carrying the money. Oh, yeah. He didn't have no chariot or horse. Somebody loaned him a donkey. He clearly told us, son of man ain't got no place to lay his head. The creator of the universe, who made his whole earth, came here and didn't have no home, no certain dwelling place. And how, some way, somehow, prayer changes. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Lord, I need this. Lord, I need. What you need is more Jesus. That's what you need. You need more of his word. Amen. You need more of his word so you can get this devil out of your mind. Amen. And learn how to overcome the enemy of your soul. See, we've seen it over the years. Many people ask God for this, God for that, God for this. And we've seen people, when the only time do you ever see believers doing any good is when they're about ready to lose a job. Amen. They've got to trust in him and believe on him. Because it's amazing. As soon as they get that job, pay $15, $20, $30 an hour, all of a sudden, Jesus, he dead. Jesus who? I've seen people ride down the road in a car and spend more time in the mirror looking at themselves, thinking that somebody else is looking at them. because they are in a certain vehicle. You'd be surprised what the flesh does. I seen some of them lean this way, some of them lean that way. I kid you not. And the truth is, don't nobody care about you. You showing out, so-called showing out for people that will never see you again, probably. You look like a fool. A couple of years ago, Sister Carol and I was up at the University of Tennessee. And there was this middle-aged professor. It was early in the morning, and we was looking for a place for Lydia to take a test. And, I was on the street, and he was on the street, and he was turning in. I seen him turn. I said, Carol, look at it. Look at that spirit right there. She goes, whoa. You know what it was? Huh? This guy was in his Cadillac, all trimmed out in gold. And he was driving, he had his nose way up in there, way up in there, hand over the steering wheel, eyes slouched down, hand up doing like this. I said, look at that spirit. And he going to hell. Because some way, somehow, he thinks that his life consists in the abundance of things in which he possesses. And let me tell you something. Anything that you think you possess, you think you possess it, but the truth is it possesses you. Because that possession, if it can change your attitude, and if it can change your character and your nature, then you don't possess it. It got you. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, y'all act like y'all ain't never seen nobody like it before. Some of the craziest stuff you ever seen in your life. You'll get folk that will spend. I'm showing you just a few examples. Practically, remember I talked about examples earlier? They will spend 20, 30, 40 minutes in the mirror before they get out of the house. I sit there, I'm telling you, I used to sit and watch in different places as women would fool what they had. They go outside, one strong wind comes, woof. First thing I think about, it messed that wig up, didn't it? I kid you not. Folks sitting at red lights, painting up them faces and stuff, and then all of a sudden it rains. And they got to get out of the car, and then they got these spots on their face for where their foundation cracked. I know I'm telling the truth. Thank you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I've seen people that will spend hours on end pressing and making sure they're closed just fine. Even to the point, I went into the bathroom one time that one man, he had his pants pressed so straight and the crease was so sharp that before he went in to use the toilet, he actually took them off and hung them up on the back door. I said, man, you done lost your mind. All because he didn't want them pants to have creases in them, you know, for when they crunch down. Oh, we think it's about, just think about some of the silly things we do. I didn't say you shouldn't take care of yourself, because you should take care of yourself. You know what I mean? But a lot of things is just flat out vanity. That's right. You stink, wash your behind. You coming from me stinking, I'm going to let you know you stinking. I'm not going to do like this. If I get around another brother and say, man, did you smell that brother? You better believe I already told that brother, you stink. You wash your behind. Now, no folk, now come on, Pastor. You don't have to talk like that. You think somebody, what about somebody having the audacity to come up in front of you stinking? There's plenty of water in the United States of America. Oh, but anyway, amen. Let me get back to this real quick before I get off on holiness. But so many things come to our mind. And have you not figured out yet that as soon as a thought comes to your mind and it grasps and it takes hold of and you start thinking on that thing, it becomes your priority for the rest of the day. Sometimes that thought will lead you to a headache because you're thinking on the wrong things. Now, what does the Bible teach you to think on? See, it tells you what to think on it. And you have to understand, we've been wired this way for so long, to think another way would be crazy to us. But you got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you've got to get God's word in. So you expect peace in your mind. Get the Prince of Peace in your mind. Get his word in your mind. And let his word dwell in you richly. So when the enemy or your flesh or even you start cutting the food, you got that word. That's a present help in a time of need. Very present help. And don't tell me words don't mean nothing because they mean everything. Yes, they do too. Oh, yes, they do. Hallelujah. Many of you been sick and somebody laid hands and said some words. And God spoke the world in existence and hung it on nothing. And God said. Don't tell me, brothers and sisters. By your words you are justified and by your words you are condemned. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. See that? And you get whatever come out of your mouth. Amen? You ever had faith for death? Y'all lying again. Just because you're not acknowledging you're lying. You ever had faith for death? Yeah, I'm going to show you how you did it before. Man, I feel sick. I didn't say it wasn't a reality. It's there. Yeah, you feel sick. All right. But there's a difference in saying, you know what? My body feels sick, but I'm not sick. You know what? This is trying to, you know, I tell you what, if you, it's rough trying to pull people up out of the pit. I'm serious, man, when people got a pack and covered it with death. Go to Walmart sometime. Just walk around and hear people talk. Let one of them people, you know, to get one of them go-kart scooters. They greet, Annie will greet Freddie. And the conversation go like this. How you doing, Annie? Oh, I'm doing all right, Freddie. Really? You look pretty good. Well, yeah, I'm doing, I thank you. I just got back from the doctor. And I just got finished having a cat scan and a triple heart bypass surgery, and I stopped by Rite Aid and got my prescription filled for my glaucoma of the toenail. Really? Boy, I tell you, that's a good doctor. I just got my arthritis medicine there. I sure did got my arthritis medicine, but there's one thing I don't understand. Last year, I had 5 bottles. This year, I got 10 bottles. Thank God for medical science. You going to church this Sunday? Yeah, if I could make it. You think she going to make it? Mm-mm. That's language we've been used to. Now, how can you expect for your life to change any way, shape, fashion, or form when you have no faith to speak God's word? Because, see, in order, it takes faith to speak God's word. When we first started in deliverance, didn't you think it was crazy? It took faith for you to speak it, didn't it? It didn't take faith for you to speak it. Why? It went against the natural order of things. There was something in you. Folks are talking about devils. First thing you did was had a reaction. I don't know about that. Huh? So how could you have faith for anything else? You had to fight and wrestle, didn't you? That's why the word has to loosen you up, warm you up, and get you ready to receive. Sometimes it takes an hour, 2 hours, sometimes three. And sometimes someone's still cold as ice. You know why? Because there's something hidden in the crevice of the heart that don't want to hear that word. Come on, brothers and sisters. All right? Look at this. Matthew 6, 25. So pay attention to your words, okay? Pay attention. Now, I don't mean you have to go around. If I don't say this, people will go around and be paranoid about speaking. I promise you. I'm serious. If you don't say one, they'll go extreme the other way. And they'll say, I'm being careful for my words. Well, what are you doing? I'm not talking too much today because I'm being careful for my words. No, you ain't talking much, but you sure are thinking a lot, though, ain't you? What you thinking? Because the way you look like somebody just hit you upside the face with a cinder block. And don't tell me you got the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Praise the Lord. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor let your body, nor yet for your body. First thing, what? Ooh, Lord, I'm here. Y'all ain't figured it out yet? Look at this. Take no thought for your life what ye shall eat. You get one hunger pain, what's the first thing you're doing? What am I going to eat? Believe me, you're going to eat. I promise you, you are going to eat. But the first thing is, the whole world stops. All thoughts, everything you think, everything ceases. Because all you own is what you're going to eat. Because your thoughts are consumed with it. One little hunger pain. You probably could have just got finished eating 20 minutes ago. And here you. Now your whole mind is consumed. What am I going to eat? One thing I'm sure of, the belly or the appetite of man, never satisfied. Never satisfied. I tell people all the time, your belly don't care what's in it. Then our thoughts lead from us being hungry to wondering what kind of food we're going to eat. So we really wasn't hungry at all. It's just that a thought came in our head. Praise the Lord, Pastor Dow. Somebody say, you're hungry? Here, eat this pear. I don't want no pear. You ain't hungry. Amen. You're deceived by your thoughts. Amen. No, I ain't either. I got a pain in my body. Oh, you ever heard that word? Hunger, pain. I ain't never heard of pain for being hungry unless you are starving. But this little pings we getting, there ain't no hunger pains. No, it ain't. That's your body. I'm going to show you what it said. Look at this. Nor what you shall drink. Look at this. Nor yet for your body. So your body communicates because the thought is already communicating. The mind is communicating. Ink. Ping. I want something to eat. So the body goes, ugh. I don't know how they demonstrate a hunger pain. But I know we get pretty motivated to stuff our gut, though. And we ain't looking for food. We're looking for particular things. What's that particular thing we're looking for? Whatever the thought in the head said. Amen. Pastor, I didn't know that was what was going on. How long you been living on this earth, Klingon? You mean tell me you don't know this stuff by now? You living this thing? Look at them looking at me. So the first thing we do is we take thought. Isn't that right? You doing all right, Misty? Hallelujah. We talked about Misty today. Look at her. It wasn't bad. So, but look at this. What ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. You never seen it? Ashley, world worst. I wish she was here. I kid you not. I see that woman. I go, man, that's too much going on. I hope she hear this too. I'll see that sister in the morning walk out the door with a set of clothes on. Brother Doug and I was sitting in the road one day, and she was taking Diane to an appointment. All right? And we seen her. She had a brown outfit on. Walked down the road, went back in the house. Brother Doug and I still sitting there talking, and she came back out, had a whole different outfit on. I said, didn't you just have a brown outfit? Yeah, but I did not. I said, yeah, I know what's going on. I said, Brother Doug, what do you think that is, brother? See, now I'm no longer talking about Ashley. I'm talking about what? All right, see, we want to blame it on the spirit again. There go your cardinal mind again. A spirit don't care how you dress unless it's seductive and seducive. And it's going to draw some attention to you. I can't believe I'm the only person living in this world right now. When you're dressing holy like she is, you're dealing with your cardinal nature, the old man that refused to die. Sister, what you had on was fine. Yeah, but no, that's all that thoughts going on it. Hi, sister. Look at him looking. One thing about a man, just put some clothes out. Just put some clothes. It make no difference. Just put them out. My wife, she gets my clothes out all the time. Now, if you ever see two or three pair, which you'll never see anyway, but if you ever see two or three pair of pants laying on the bed, that's because I got too fat to wear them. It ain't because I'm taking thought about what I got on. Praise the Lord, Pastor Dow. Hallelujah. And y'all thought I was perfect. It's like a lot of times if I'm using somebody for an example, that devil will say he always uses somebody else, but every time he uses example of himself, he's always perfect. Ain't nothing ever wrong with him. I don't know. That's a war-mongering spirit. Always want to start something. I kid you not. So if I got four or five pair of pants on my bed, it ain't because I'm taking thought of what I got on. It's because my butt done got too fat and my behind can't fit in it. So I got to go and find those pants that's got the elastic in the way. That way they can still say 36. Don't tell me I'm not. See, that ain't being consumed by thoughts. Hallelujah. We're just telling the truth here. Is that all right? But some of us, I'm telling you, we got too much going on up here. Be content with such things as you. So you're going to have all them clothes on in one day. You know that ain't contentment. Hallelujah. Did he not just say that? Take no thought? That's one thing about it. I could be out with people not around here and say, what y'all want to eat? I don't care. I say, good, we'll just go to Subway. Why? First thing we see. Good enough. My family, I remember I made a vow, and I done kept it too so far. I said, we're never going through another drive-thru. What a mess. I'm just used to eating food. No pickles, no lettuce, no cheese. Put a little onion, a few sprinkles of pepper, maybe a little bit of oil and vinegar. No, take your sandwich back. This sandwich ain't fixed right. Never mind. See, there's too much going on up here. Because look at this. Is not the life more than meat? Yes or no? Yes. Then why are you so busy taking thought about it then? Oh, look at this. And the body than raiment. Is it not? Yeah. Come on, is it not? Yeah. It's not life more. But yet and still, these cares of this life,
It chokes out the word because our minds are being consumed by thoughts. Put on something decent. You know what decent is in order. Come on, put on something decent and be content with that. I couldn't tell you what you had on last Sabbath, much less yesterday. You watch me pretty much on giving 52 weeks out of the year. Is that right? 48 of those 52 weeks, I probably still got the same pair of blue pants on because them ones got the elastic that stretch. They go up and down. Wear them, throw them dirty clothes, wash them, got them back on again. Hallelujah. Ask my wife. She'll let you know. So, in truth, brothers and sisters, believe it or not, your speech is ordered by things that you believe, and you believe what you think. Have you ever thought this before? That person don't like me. Now let me ask you a question. Did they tell you that? No, but all of a sudden you got discernment and you know. How you think that come up in your mind? A thought, and it solidified that thought by a feeling. Or that spirit headed off at the pass. That person done something, and then to seal what you it already put in your mind to make you think, you say, then that spirit say, see, and you go, mm-hmm. Y'all ain't figured this thing out yet, for we wrestle not against. Disembodied spirits, they all over the place, ain't they? Trying to control every aspect of men's minds and life. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. The word that I was looking at earlier up here, I wanted to give it to you. 3309 in the Greek lexicon, take no thought is, look at this, to be careful, to be anxious, to be troubled with cares. Did y'all hear that? And that's coming from Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life. That doesn't mean preserve. He's not saying don't have self-preservation for your life. You know what I mean? Don't take particular care for your life. Is that right? He said take no thought. And what he's saying is you're troubled with cares. One minute we say God is in control, then our life reflects how much God is out of control. And really, God is not out of control. You're out of control. Hallelujah. Because we have not been transformed. We have no answer for the thoughts that are coming. Because the Bible teaches us, cast down every thought and imaginations that exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Now, if you don't know if that thought didn't originate from God, if you don't know that it didn't come from God, you don't know if it even come from you. How can you cast down any imagination or any thought when you don't even know what the Word of God says? Because the Word of God is going to put God's nature into your spirit, in your mind. And the cares of this life and this world, it has a nature. It has a particular spirit and motivation that it does things in. So when the scripture says, be not conformed to this world, Romans 12, but be transformed. How you be transformed? By putting on more clothes? Eating more food? Yeah, you can bring about transformation either way. Yes, you can too. That's right. Shave off your hair. Grow a beard. You can transform like that, but you're still the same person. Your mind is still the same. So it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the reason why you do that, so that you may prove. You're transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can prove what is going on. You can prove what is good. Because they're evil thoughts, they're good thoughts. What is acceptable? Some of the stuff we give credence to is not acceptable. No, it ain't. No, it ain't. And you can't tell me a lot of this traffic that's going on is the perfect will of God when it brings about a fallen countenance, a mental disorder, an instability. Amen. Anxiety. No, depression and heaviness. Don't give them. There's no. See,
if we had God's word in us, automatically it'd pop up. I know exactly what that is. If you don't know, you have no combat for the fight. You have nothing to defend yourself with. No armor. No. You have no weapons for the fight. Because the word is the sword of the spirit. Uh-huh. Yes, that's right. So rather than us swinging back and chasing away the enemy, can you picture the enemy having a sword and then you see it and you take off, run the other way? And you're anxious. That's right. Because you're caring about your hide and you have no defense. If he's got a sword, you ain't got no sword. Chances are, you think you're going to win that fight? This is reality. We ain't playing Black Belt Theater movies. Mm-mm. We in a real life situation here. You see, as simple as this may sound, that's what preaching is there to do. It's there to bring to light. It's there to bring about the appropriation of what you experience every day. It's there to make sense of some of these experiences you go to so you can have information, God's knowledge, to be able to fight the enemy that is going on in your mind. Because God wants us victorious. He wants us to be overcomers. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So think about what you testify when a lot of hell is going on. Think about what you're thinking on when a lot of hell is going on. And then what does the Bible teach you to do when all that is going on? See, a lot of times we're having anxiety attacks over a bunch of nothing. Really? Let's just say somebody who's a chronic worrier. All right? Did your worrying change anything? Change the degree of your headache. But did it change anything? Did it change anything? 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 So somebody say, stop worrying. And you'll go, I'm trying. How are you trying? How can you not worry when your spirit and soul is developed and used to being that way? I'll tell you how you can not worry. You can think on these things. You can cast down. Really? That easy? But it seems so hard because you've been walking away so long. You got to fight now. The weapons of our warfare are not. But they're mighty through God. Through who? God, who is the word, to the pulling down of stronghold. What the stronghold? You can't see them. But yet they still there. So don't get mad and upset at me because I'm not worrying like you. You seem like you're having fun. Keep at it. As for me, I'm going to be at peace. Hallelujah. I kind of like peace. You know what I mean? I try to keep my mind saturated with the word of God because a lot of times ain't nothing too much going on up there because ain't too much up there to go on. So you sing yourself in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, making melodies in your heart. Hallelujah. Because if you don't, you ain't never heard nothing, no spirit in your mind making judgments on everybody. Not a day that don't go by, you don't see some fault with somebody. Isn't that right? What is that? Accusing spirit. What'd they do to you? Nothing. Well, all of a sudden, out of the wild blue yonder, you got to accuse somebody. I know, you're contentious. You got to start something because it's your nature. Well, ain't me. You're in place of the devil. Bible said, give no place to the. How would you know if you don't know the word? How would you be aware of the enemy devices if you don't know the word? See, so we must have God's word in us because it's the only thing that's going to transform the mind. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at this. The last part of that definition of to take no thought is, look at this, to seek to promote one's entrance, caring or providing for oneself. Now, we do know we got some preservation in there, you know, like I said before. But we're going to have to stop lying to the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Y'all remember Ananias and Sapphira? They had, with the church, they had agreed to sell the whatever the possession they had for a price. Isn't that right? And then they agreed together, we're going to get this much, we're going to keep this back for ourselves. And then when it came before the man of God, he didn't say you lied to me. He said, why have you agreed together to lie to the Holy Ghost? Let me tell you something. Have you ever asked God for something, then all of a sudden you hear the preaching or teaching, all of a sudden that's your answer? Huh? If God can answer and he's doing and he is answering that quick, fast, and in a hurry and stuff, don't you think that he's also giving the person who's speaking the answer? A lot of times you give yourself away by your reaction. Yeah, I'll be up here preaching and stuff. Uh-huh. And sometimes you don't ask God for something, you trust God for something, and all of a sudden you react there a little bit. And I go, oh, that's who that's for. I don't care if it's good, bad, ugly, indifferent. It makes no difference. And then if you say something truth and you follow me, usually you get the same crowd that has the spirit of truth. No matter how it hits, they're just there. But if you say something true and then you don't budge and you're accustomed to budging, guess what? There you are. You shining light, ain't you? Yeah, you burning dim. See? Where you react or don't react, you're still showing. Hallelujah. And you are children of the light. So walk in the light. Hallelujah. Let your light so shine. Your eyes is the window to your soul. Hallelujah. We do a lot of communication with it. So brothers and sisters, you know, it don't take much. The thing that you deal with and struggle with the most, go God's word. Find out what it said and get victory over that thing. Because the more you say God's word, it becomes part of you. And then you don't have to no longer worry about trying to believe. You are a believer. There's a difference. You don't worry about trying to muster up faith to believe to do something. No, when you're a believer, it's just like second nature. You just do it because you believe. That's just your nature. You're just a believer. A believer reacts how he believes because he just believes. And when you got God's word and his nature so much in you, a lot of things, it's just mostly reaction. Just Holy Spirit-filled reaction. We bless the name of Jesus. So we hope that you learned something about words, even more so, because we've been on this a whole lot. I noticed we've been on this a lot in the last couple of months. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's what the enemy does. I'm telling you, he's warring in our minds. He's warring in our minds. He's warring in our minds. So be careful what you think on. Hallelujah. And if you're thinking on something even and you can't seem to shake loose, get free of it and stuff, then go find God's word for it. And then just carry a sheet of paper around with God's word and just keep repeating it. I'm telling you something. Hey, early on, that's how I used to do stuff. I'd carry around a sheet of paper. Now, I wouldn't carry around it every day now because next thing you know. But I had to put it in. I said, man, I'm going to remember that. Now, I didn't remember all scripture like it. Both of it just came to me just like that. A lot of time I'm studying, not even thinking about it. Next thing you know, I'm talking to someone about Jesus. Then bam, 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 bam. Just when you don't think it's there, it's because you've been hiding in your heart. You read God's word. You just read God's word. You got to sit up there and try to act like you're taking a test. Studying for a test, pass or fail. Just read God's word. You got the Holy Ghost. He'll put it in there. Next thing you know, at the most inopportune time, all of a sudden, remember, he said, remember, it's not going to be you that's doing speaking, but that spirit that is in you. And you're going to know that, man, ain't no way I can remember no word like that. There ain't no way. It's got to be God. Yeah, no duh. Hallelujah. So put more Jesus in you by putting more word in you. Hallelujah. We bless the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for your words of truth. We pray that these sins continually seep deep down in our hearts in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Bless y'all. Have a good night. The King is coming. Be encouraged.